Hello, this is Dr. J. Davidson from drjdavidson.com. I'm excited to welcome you to this very special segment of the Chronic Lyme Disease Summit number 2. According to the CDC, there are more people affected with Lyme disease each year than breast cancer. Today, my special guest is Dr. Kim DeRamo, and we're going to be exploring mindsets that impair immune function. But before we do, a little bit about Dr. Kim. Dr. Kim DeRamo is a physician, speaker, best-selling author of the Mind-Body Toolkit, and founder of the American Institute of Mind-Body Medicine. She's a board-certified in emergency medicine and attendant residency at Emory University in Atlanta. After healing herself from chronic illness using mind-body tools, she now empowers millions to use the same tools to immediately shift their body chemistry and brain activity to create health and well-being. Dr. DeRamo conducts online group training programs and speaks internationally to doctors, medical students, and the general public to teach self-healing tools. You can receive your free mind-body tools today at drkimd.com. Dr. Kim, I want to welcome you to the Chronic Lyme Disease Summit number 2.
Thanks, Jay. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm excited to pick your brain because the mindset, attitude, I mean, you are always so upbeat every time I see you. You're an exciting person to be around, just energetic. And I guess if you don't mind, I'm just very curious, how did you get into the mind-body medicine aspect?
Well, there's so many things that played into that for kind of just how I think and how I am and the way I see the world. So going into medicine was really more about like learning the inner workings so I could begin to understand more about the mind-body connection. So I was already really fascinated with that and started learning from other teachers like Joan Borisenko, Herbert Benson. You know, there's a lot of doctors who are at Harvard who were sort of newly investigating the whole world of mind-body medicine, even way back 30 years ago. And I was so intrigued by that. So it already was part of the way I think. And then going into medicine to learn more about this connection and how it plays into what's happening in our immune system, what's happening in our brain, what's happening throughout our body or our sensitivity to pain and things like that. It was, I was just really intrigued by that. So then, of course, when I developed an autoimmune illness during medical school, and, you know, it was like a couple years of being really sick and no one having any clue what was going on and looking into this and that and trying to figure things out. And I got sent to like 20 different specialists, but no one really had an answer or could help me feel better. And so that was a time when I really went deeper into this to look at, wait a minute, what's right about this that I'm not getting, and began to see the ways I was fighting my body, I was fighting my symptoms, and that created an inner battle in my body, which really is what manifested as the illness and the autoimmune disease.
Wow, so through personal story, I didn't even realize that.
Well, it was quite a long journey because even being a person who understood mind-body connection, mm-hmm. I really hadn't been taught, like, what does that mean? How do I apply it? Because just like so many people, it's like, okay, mind over body. I'm creating this. I can change this. And that was a lot of the battle for like a year and a half of when I was pain, and then I'd feel like I got to do something differently, or I'd have unbelievable fatigue and I'd feel like, oh, I should be able to overcome this. So sometimes people take the mind-body idea and apply it in a way that's totally detrimental and actually makes you more sick.
And that's one of the reasons I wanted to interview Dr. Kim was this mindset piece of somebody, you know, suffering with chronic Lyme disease, and let's say it's for many years. That seems to be one of the biggest hurdles to overcome is this thought process, this mindset. And one of the things I keep wondering about, you know, is, you know, so let's think about the body and the fact that it can heal itself. Well, I mean, why? If the body can heal itself, why do still people, you know, exhibit symptoms and sickness? And why doesn't just everybody heal and not have issues?
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that really we keep ourselves from connecting with health, with the source of health, with this space within us that allows our health to flourish, that informs our cells, that informs our DNA, that actually allows us to overcome virtually every illness we've seen, and certainly things like Lyme disease, where our immune system can balance itself out and have the strength to allow ourselves to release that bug so we don't stay sick. So why are people not having that? It's always some level of how we are blocking ourselves from our full expression of self. And so what does that mean? We're all connected with the source of what creates the body, the source of what repairs the body. Like you cut your finger and your skin knows exactly what hormones and chemicals to secrete and how to get that repaired, usually really quickly. So when that's not happening, it's because we have somehow come out of alignment. We've somehow disrupted that opening and that receiving. So now the body not only doesn't get what it needs, but it can get sick in like a million different ways. And our medical system looks at all of those particular ways in total separation. So, oh, over here is a thing you need if you've got a problem with an infection. Over here is a thing you need if you've got a problem with anxiety. Over here is the problem if it's with your gut. And as if everything's separate, but in the wholeness of connecting, it can repair everything completely, even though it may be a disruption in the gut or a disruption in the nervous system or disruption in the immune system. The source, when we connect to this source within, it allows everything to heal.
So when you say connecting to the source within, I mean connecting to the just innate, inborn healing intelligence that's in our body, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, and also releasing the blockages that we've created that disconnect us from it. So, for example, like we're talking about mindsets that impair immune function. So I had noticed a long time where I see patients with chronic, problems with their gut, problems digesting food, food allergies, and a buildup of candida. And there's a huge body of work about combating candida, getting rid of candida. There's like zillions of supplements, diets. But what I saw for the people who would present to me that had that problem where it wouldn't go away and they couldn't get rid of the candida, that all of them were in the energy of hopelessness and almost like experiencing life as a victim. So things like, well, I got fired from my job, or my husband left me, or I have no money and things aren't working for me. And we can all go into that state of helplessness where it feels like, wow, life is not on my side. But what I saw with these particular patients is they weren't able to get beyond the energy of hopelessness. Like they totally bought into this idea, life is happening to me and there's nothing I can do about it. And I saw the way that affected their immune system, affected their balance in their gut biome, affected the candida overgrowth. And then when I started seeing more people with Lyme, and I kind of said to one of my friends who was a candida expert and also saw people with Lyme, I said, it seems like it's the candida mindset with a side of self, like fight, like I've got to overcome. So like self-propelling. And so there was this other aspect of, I guess, like the personality or the mindset where it was like, I'm not going to let life get me down. I'm going to fight. I'm going to get ahead. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going. And so it's the victim space of like, wow, life's not on my side, but then also this space of like, I'm going to fight and I'm going to overcome it. And so when you think of a fight, you're geared up, your immune system's geared up, your fight or flight mechanism is kicked on. There are certain hormones and chemicals and brain states that go along with that, Jay. Like we've learned in medical school, we learn what exactly gets secreted in the body and what parts of the brain get ignited and what that does physically and chemically. And so that can certainly create these patterns where the body cannot clear an infection.
So in other words, the mindset of hopelessness and then what you called like this self-fight, you know, I'm going to get ahead, but yet still life is happening to me, like this combination. That's a pattern that you've seen in the Lyme disease
yes,
community?
Almost universally.
Okay.
And you may notice this yourself where the patients you see have that attitude. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, right or wrong. It's just we can expand beyond it to receive more. And this is exactly where I was when I had this autoimmune illness. The fatigue would come in or the pain, and it'd be like, okay, mind over matter. I'm going to overcome this. I'm not going to let the fatigue determine, you know, that I'm just going to sit around all day. I'm going to take my run and I'm going to push myself and I'm going to make myself run as if like that would help me overcome it. Like it was this overcoming mindset, and I didn't actually learn how to release and surrender and allow myself to receive so that my body could receive what it needed and it could easily heal.
So the self-fight is this thing that you're going to overcome it rather than just listening to what your body is asking of you, essentially?
Yes, and it's so hard because, like, for me, it was like, well, how can I just do that? If I allow, I'm going to just sit on the couch and waste away. If I just allow, I'm never going to accomplish anything. If I just allow, this illness will take over, and I won't be able to finish medical school and live my dream. And so that was the faulty premise.
Ah. You know, with clients with Lyme, I definitely noticed there's the, you know, if you just simplify it to the type A, type B, type personality, it's definitely more the type A, you know, higher strung, wanting to get more done. And that would be essentially that self-fighting, overcoming aspect of it.
It would really help me move beyond that because it was, like I said, a couple years. I saw every specialist, and then the infectious disease guy was like, did every, you know, tests up and down, and he finally said, wait a minute, I know what you have. You have allergies. My daughter has this, and she feels like crap all the time, and this is what's going on. And so it was like this, like, golden promise of, like, oh, the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I went to the allergist, and they tested up and down all over my back, and, like, I flared up to almost every single allergen they injected. And the allergist, you know, and I had the rheumatoid factor was positive. Some of my lab tests were off. He's like, we figured this out. So here's what you've got to do. You have allergies. You have to avoid these things, and you have to take these medications, and you have to have all these cleaning detergents. And it was this whole slew of things. And it felt so heavy that as soon as he started explaining this solution, I was like, wait a minute. This doesn't even have to be true for me. Like, this is not what's true for me, that I have this problem, these are the conditions, and this is how it's going to go for life. And that was when I started to, like, listen to my body in a different way. And instead of making it, what's wrong with me, oh, my God, why do I have this pain? Oh, God, it's still there, and feeling defeated, I started to ask, what's right about this that I'm not getting? And it was like, okay, body, I'm ready to surrender everything that I think I know and really listen and allow the wisdom to come through.
So, I mean, this goes back just to the premise that you said, instead of this whole total separation idea in kind of the modern medical field, it's this wholeness, that mindset and our thought process can literally impact our immune system then.
Yeah, and we've seen that research for decades. Even though it hasn't been fully integrated into conventional medicine, every thought we have ignites chemical responses throughout every part of our body, and that affects every cell. It affects our immune system very powerfully. So the research that comes out of the Harvard Mind-Body Institute has shown us that since the 80s, where they began to tangibly look at this and say, wow, like, we're connected. And they developed a whole field of psychoneuroimmunology, which was like your psychology has to do with your brain, and your nervous system has to do with your immune system. And this is actually one system, not three separate systems. They all interact with each other. So that if you're feeling, and a lot of people, they hold these energies of whatever it is, hopelessness, despair, defeat, anger, they hold these in their body without the conscious awareness of it, but they experience the physical response of the body. So the body is going to be disconnected. It'll wear down. It'll develop illness. And without us being connected with our emotional body, what we're feeling, what energies we're in, it's like, wow, I have no idea where this is coming from. I'm eating everything right. I'm taking the supplements. I'm going to the right doctors. I'm trying to get this thing figured out, and nothing is really working. Well, that's because they're still holding on to these energies they haven't yet allowed to release.
So if somebody is stuck in this hopelessness and self-fight mode, I mean, where do you even begin the journey? The first, I'm hearing a lot about kind of like this unawareness. So essentially you want to become aware of the physical body, the mental body, and start connecting the dots? I mean, where do you start?
That's exactly where I start. So let's go through a little exercise here. So I have a whole program based on this where we go a lot deeper, and it's called the Instant Elevation because it instantly allows you to release these old energies that make the body sick. And so then instead of like barking up that tree of more tests, more supplements, more treatments, and you actually can allow a profound release that ignites healing and makes all of those things, typically what I see, no longer necessary at all. Or if some of them maybe a couple things here and there, but it's really easy instead of complex. So the first part of the Instant Elevation is awareness. So we're going to practice becoming aware of what's happening within your body.
Okay. So taking quiet time now.
We can guide, if you like, we can guide the listeners through this tool.
Yeah,
and we can go into this. Okay, cool. So the three components of Instant Elevation are A, B, C. So as you had just brought up, which seems so intuitive, like more awareness. The more we have awareness of what's actually happening within us, our own pain, the part of us that does feel hopeless, the more we can naturally respond to that in ways that allow it to release. And so instead of like, now I am aware of this problem, it's one more thing I have to fix, your awareness itself is what allows the resolution. So we'll just invite everyone to close your eyes if that's available. And just receive a deep breath. So start by feeling your spine straight. And let yourself breathe fluidly. So just release your breath, relax your shoulders. And as you relax your shoulders and neck, it brings the breath deeper into the belly. So when we're in fight or flight, we breathe shallow breaths up into the chest. And when we want to actually come into well-being, if we come into belly breathing, relax the shoulders, relax your neck, it will automatically allow the diaphragm muscle to do the breathing. So you'll feel your belly go out with the inhale, and you'll feel your belly sink in with the exhale. So bring your awareness to your body. And you can start where a lot of us kind of live in our head. So we might be aware of all the scattered thoughts or, I got to do this, I got to do that. And kind of the ways our mental body can throw us around. I can't do this, I should do that. I don't know about this. And then we live that as if it's a reality. So we're going to go deeper. So bring your awareness into your body. And then allow yourself to release all the places outside of you that are getting your attention. So if you kind of see like off to your left, maybe is the past. And when we have our energy in the past, it's like playing old records of this thing that happened. It shouldn't have happened. I'm angry. Or this thing I did, I wish I didn't do. I'm regretful. And we'll feel those energies in our body the more our attention, our energy is stuck off in the past. So things that have happened maybe when you were really young, or maybe there was a car accident and ever since then you've not been the same, or maybe there was this doctor that didn't do the right thing and you're still carrying that. So the invitation now is to just erase that whole chalkboard of the past as if it's a big giant chalkboard and just erase it. You're giving a signal to your presence, let that go, and to no longer reside there. So just blow away the chalk dust. And then pull all parts of yourself, your energy, your attention, right back, right here, right now, into your body. And just pull it back, call it back. Any ways that you think you don't know how to do that, let that go, because you are absolutely powerful enough to do this very rapidly. Good. So now we'll do the same thing with the future. So maybe it's off to your right where there's this like future timeline of what I hope happens, what I hope doesn't happen, what I think should happen, what I have to do later. And then erase that whole chalkboard. when our energy is in the future, it creates particular kinds of inflammation and disruption in the body. It creates a pattern of fear and anxiety. So erase the chalkboard of future, and then pull all of the energy in that is you, your attention, your awareness, your presence, pull it right back right here, right now, into your physical body. And then just breathe fully. And now bring your energy from your head, like feel your head. You can move your neck around a little bit. Feel your shoulders. Move your shoulders. Feeling your body physically helps you be present. Your body only lives in the now. So you actually begin to access your power and align your system with balance and well-being when you bring your attention into your physical body. So now just bring it all the way down from your head and pull it down through your throat and pull it all the way into your heart. Feel the space of your heart. You can put your hand on your chest. You can move your chest around just to kind of get some physical engagement so you can really feel this space of your body. And keep breathing. And then you're going to bring your energy, your attention from your heart all the way down to your pelvis. So pull it down through your belly, through your solar plexus, down through your core, down past your belly button. And there's a really powerful center here, just below the belly button. Dan Qian, in certain cultures, they have a lot of names for that. So anchor and pull your energy, your attention, all the way down into this core of your body. And then just take a few deep breaths in this space. Feeling your pelvis, you can move your hips around on the chair. This is going to allow all those records playing in the mind. I can't do it. It's not okay. I never get what I need. I've tried so hard. I've been in struggle. I'm so tired. It's going to allow all of that to just release because you're no longer giving that your energy. So your attention now is pulled into this center. And then just breathe slowly. And what you'll feel a lot, especially as you begin to belly breathe, let the belly expand out with the inhale, relax your shoulders, you will actually feel your health ignite. You can feel the balance begin to come in. So when I work with people, they'll typically, like your physical body might take a few seconds to respond. It might take a few days to respond, but you'll already be in that space of connection with yourself, connection within, that allows the health to begin to flourish. So you'll already feel it happening right now, which is why I call it the instant elevation. And then your physical body is going to be a reflection of this space of serenity that you reside in. So I invite people to like set their alarm three times a day to go off and tell them instant elevation. So they do this awareness practice, which here we've taken several minutes, but we can do it very quickly as you begin to practice it. And then you actually just take three slow deep breaths. And so if you're in your car driving and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm late, this is not okay, your immune system's flared up, your GI is going to be inflamed, like everything's going to be creating disease. And then you have that reminder to say, wait a minute, I'm here. I can breathe through the energy I'm in and I'll allow it to release. So just this practice of awareness that we've begun to develop here is what allows your body to do what its wisdom can do. You don't have to heal your body. You move into allowing so that your body can be healed. So how is that?
Wow. I just coming back into the fact that we're doing an interview right now. I remember I interviewed somebody and they kind of went through a meditation example one time, and I remember, I don't know if this is the best part for an interview for me to do it too. Wow.
It's good. Yeah. It's actually necessary because the energy, the space you embody is your transmission. So if you're sharing information, Jay, that's all well and good. But if you actually embody a deeper level of presence with yourself, people feel that infinitely more powerfully than the stuff of information and the mind. So this is actually an integration that they will receive because we've chosen to go there and go into it. That goes way, way beyond the usual way that we transmit information, which is like, let me tell you something that you didn't know.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's more of an experience than just a bombardment of information then. So back it up, the instant elevation, you mentioned it was ABC. A was awareness. Was B like...
I bring them deeper into the work with shifting their breathing.
Okay.
So that they allow the amygdala fight or flight pattern to turn off. Because for me, like, that was one of the things that really had me stay sick and not heal. My body could heal. It healed in days. Like, Jay, I'm telling you, all of my symptoms went away. All of my labs returned to normal. And it was within about a week. I had no more fatigue, no more chronic pain. Like, everything resolved. And so your body typically can resolve physically very quickly. But it's a matter of releasing these old ways of being that are holding us and disconnecting us from the essence that allows the healing. So when we shift out of the fight or flight breathing pattern, because what we'll be aware of, like, your awareness very often will be like, oh, I'm really anxious, or oh, I'm kind of all fired up right now, or, you know, whatever it is. Your alarm goes off to remind you to do the instant elevation, and you're like, okay, check in with my body. How do I feel right now? And if I say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is awesome. 1 is like, get me off the planet right now. I'm a 5. And then I actually move into B, which is to shift my breathing and brain states. And then I use that belly breathing, and I teach people a little bit more deeply how to go into what we just did briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is you'll find, oh, I just went from a 5 to an 8. I feel lighter. I feel like I'm not so worried about this other thing I was all contracted about and didn't know what to do. And I'm like, yeah, it'll take care of itself. And then what we experience is always a reflection of that. So things actually do start to take care of themselves, or, you know, there's more awareness of the abundance that we can choose. So then the C part is our conscious choice. We're actually allowing ourselves to come into a higher state of consciousness.
Got it. I was thinking, I was trying to think, what would B and C be? And B, I was thinking maybe blow away the chalk dust that you'd mentioned earlier. But we'll take the breathing and brain state for sure. So C was conscious decision. I mean, what would you say, and maybe there's a difference, what would you say the difference is of just being mindfulness versus more of like this instant elevation?
Well, this gives people, because I've practiced mindfulness, and it's awesome, and, you know, could like be aware of your feet on the floor as you're walking. It's very much the same as you develop awareness. It's presence in your body. And so for me, that part is really the most important key, is how am I being present to myself? Am I noticing my pain and then freaking out because I'm worried it will never go away? Because that's what happened for me, is like every time I would feel the pain, it would trigger the fear and hopelessness. And what I found with my clients that I've worked with is, as I assist them in releasing the energy of the hopelessness and fear, the pain will immediately resolve. The fatigue will go away. But with the B and C components, for me, because I've always had such an active mind, it kind of gives me something to do to allow the integration to continue. Because if I just go to mindfulness, it's like, am I doing it right? Am I not doing it right? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I should be more mindful. Oh, maybe am I doing, you know, and you get a little like kind of scattered with it. So I've just found this little ABC thing to be a major key that assists us in connecting with something that allows us to open.
I love that. Yeah, you're speaking my language about the mind constantly racing. So in other words, if I'm hearing you right, mindfulness is essentially bringing the awareness piece in, but going the next step or next couple steps to, you know, focus on brain state, breathing, conscious decision, that's kind of going to the next level.
Yeah, and the biggest premise with the instant elevation and the program, how I've created it, which, you know, you don't even need to do the program. It takes you deeper into the work. But if all you do is just what we did right here today and like the ABC, the basic, you will dramatically expand your awareness. So with mindfulness, a lot of times it's like, I might be doing it right, I might be doing it wrong, and there's like a lot more, you're in the mind, right? And when we just go into allowing, it's a release. I'm releasing my mind, I'm present in my body, and I'm allowing something bigger to emerge.
What type of, chronic illness or conditions have you seen change from this approach?
I see a lot of people with autoimmune illness with, like I mentioned, they'll have the Lyme disease or Candida or some kind of a immune imbalance where now there's an infection that doesn't clear, chronic fatigue, chronic pain, and very routinely I've seen people, as we connect with this space within, have resolution very, very quickly. So there's this one patient who had severe pain, back pain, was on like narcotics, and he was not your typical narcotic user. He was an MD physician who was also a psychiatrist. So he had a lot of specific ways of thinking, and he was really bought into it. This is how this is, and this is how that is, and this is how things work. And so when I saw him in my practice, he'd been to like a zillion practitioners. And my colleague was an acupuncturist, and she's like, Kim, I don't know what's going on with him, but you know, maybe you can help him, so let's try this. And so he came and said, well, I know you can't get me out of pain, but maybe you can just help me manage it a little better. And so, you know, this is like what I do. It's like, well, can I invite you into something bigger? Because the mind will always limit what's possible. And when we are willing to move beyond the mind, we open to infinite possibilities. So I said, well, would it be okay if we could get you out of pain? And he just kind of laughed to realize, like, what he was doing. And he's like, well, okay, I guess so. And so when we did the work and the treatment, where I did some like physical osteopathic body work and things, I also knew to use some emotional stuff with him. So we did EFT meridian tapping, which I had recently been introduced to. I totally loved it. It was an amazing way of releasing the emotional energies. And we did this with him for like, you know, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And he called me up the next day and said, I have no idea what you did, but I have no pain for the first time in 10 years. And he went on and on and on and said, well, I'm sure it's going to come back, but I'm kind of blown away and I can't understand this, but I have no pain today. And so I said, well, let's see how it goes, and I'm going to see you next week, blah, blah, blah. And I had the awareness, like, he was going to pull himself back into the old pattern because he was very committed to that pattern of being where it's like, this is what can happen, this is what cannot happen, I already know what I know, because there can be a lot of fear to expanding beyond our own mindset, beyond our own, you know, beliefs and memories and ideas. So when I saw him a week later, he said, well, you know, I have my pain is back. Let's just do the physical stuff. I don't need all that cognitive stuff. But he was in a space of kind of like disdain where he's like, mm-hmm. I don't need all that. I've already done all the cognitive stuff, like superiority. So I just kind of noticed it, and I'm like, all right, here we go. This is what he's ready for. And so, you know, he went on his merry way and continued to have pain. A year later, I saw him where now it was meeting colleague to colleague, and he was asking me about an entrepreneurial venture he was involved with, and what do you see the applications of this being? And it was a way of kind of getting into the root of someone's psyche. What are their core belief patterns that are holding them back? And I said, well, the biggest application I see for this is to have people who are using EFT tapping, which is just a way of calming down your brain states, talking to your body, get clarity on what to tap on. Because people learn tapping, but always the question is, what do I tap on? How do I do this? What do I say? And this would give them that insight. And he said, well, tell me a little more about this tapping thing. I know you did this on me last year, but, you know, what is this really about? And so I said, well, why don't we sit down and let's just do a little tapping. And we went in. This was such a cool moment because he was no longer, I think, being on the patient side, there was like some defensiveness and protections went up. And being on the doctor's side, he was much more receptive. And so I explained the physiology and the neurochemistry and some of the Eastern medicine perspectives on how it works, which he really required that. He needed to know, like, is there science to this? And so then he was much more willing. And in 4 minutes, because what came up for him with the pain was the fear it was never going to go away, the hopelessness and embarrassment of what are people going to think of me? I can't bike with my friends anymore. I used to be so active, and now I'm kind of like, am I a loser? So the shame. And he was really willing to go to that depth of witnessing the energies he was embodying. And so we just allowed his nervous system to release all of that. And in like 4 minutes, he sat there completely dazed and in awe and completely pain-free. And he just sat, and I said, you know, just sit here. Like, let's not jump back into anything. Just be with this. And he was like, I'm so blown away right now. I don't get it. I don't understand. We had shifted him out of his old mindset, out of his old energy, out of his old pattern. So not only was there now no pain, there was so much more freedom to everything. So this was such a great example of how when we open and allow, the physical body can truly experience the miraculous.
Wow. So you're a fan of EFT, I take it then.
Yeah, I love EFT.
Awesome. Okay. And that stands for, is it emotional freedom technique?
Yes, emotional freedom technique, because we're allowing the body to release old energies that are creating toxicity. So emotions, you know, it's emotional energy, and it's a very powerful way to address this.
Cool. So are the tapping points, do they have a relation with, like, the Eastern medicine acupuncture, acupressure type points?
Yes, there is a lot of correlation between the meridians and the way energy flows through the body, and then these tapping points where we're connecting with the nervous system. And it's been kind of fascinating in the last 20 years to see how much our modern Western science has correlated with these ancient Eastern philosophies of medicine that used to be really looked down upon by our culture. Like, well, we're scientific and that's all crap and we know what's better. But now as we've begun to emerge into more awareness, we're actually witnessing the same thing.
Yeah, well, in I think you said it right too, that, you know, like the woo-woo, like, oh, no, this isn't scientific, or there's no scientific basis to this, and we think it's, you know, we could, maybe listeners right now, you know, there's some thinking maybe this is more woo-woo, and then they discount it, even though that maybe this is the piece of the puzzle that they need.
Yeah, you know what's happening, and one of the programs I have is for practitioners to begin to be the medicine. Like, instead of trying so hard to teach the medicine or give the medicine, to begin to embody a deeper space of presence that allows so much more in their practice. And so what we're seeing is a way we're now able to receive awareness that we didn't used to allow. Like, it was like, okay, evidence-based. I have to have it proven to me, and then I'll conceive of it, and then I'll allow it. And so what so many of us practitioners have come more into is, all right, let me suspend disbelief and be open and receive, and then feel into, like, what really fits and resonates with me. So the biggest difference that's happening in this new era of medicine, it's not that we're not seeing the evidence and the science. It's just that we're allowing ourselves to receive awareness that isn't based on what has already been proven. So I can sort of have that awareness, begin to play with it, and then look at the science, and then begin to apply the science and sort of prove it, but sort of working backwards, where we don't need to have it proven to us in order for us to begin to accept it. We can now begin to connect with our knowing and our wisdom, and as doctors, begin to apply medicine from there.
Well said. Yeah, I'm just thinking too back. You kind of mentioned, you know, he's like, oh, I've done that, you know, and that's another barrier or wall I see common with people that have been to a lot of practitioners. It's like, I've done everything, you know, and it's almost like they're just throwing the towel in, like, the hopelessness. And it's like the reality is, if you've done everything, you have your result, right? You'd be well. So there's obviously a missing piece, and instead of, you know, creating excuses, let's have almost like this openness, like you're saying, of what are the missing pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah, and like Einstein says, the solution is not found at the same space of consciousness where the problem emerged. So what this is actually requiring is an expansion in consciousness. And that's really what the instant elevation is. This, you'll see as you practice it, like, whenever I notice, like, say I'm at work and I'm doing my thing and I'm like, oh, what should I do about this thing? Oh, I don't know. Well, I'll feel my body and feel the contraction and be like, okay, let me just breathe in. And I open to a higher space of consciousness. And then all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, why don't I just do this? The solution comes in effortlessly. And so if I were to, what I used to do was like work really hard and work harder. And I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get together. We're going to make a strategy. And I would operate in a different way. So I would just try harder. But I was burning myself out, because if you're staying in the same space of consciousness where the problem exists, you literally can't conceive of and receive a solution.
Yeah, and it reminds me of the less is more. Sometimes it's not putting your head down and working harder, but kind of thinking more about what needs to be accomplished is a better route. I also think about, you know, you said possibility, where those, you know, in a tough health space or you know, with conditions, symptoms are going through, can feel like this is an impossible journey. And I had a mentor tell me, he said, dream big, Dr. J, because most of the population's dreams are pretty small, so there's less competition when you dream big. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting way to think of it, you know, like less competition by dreaming big. So I want to obviously invite the listeners to start dreaming big. And I have a question for you too, Kim. I was at a conference about a year ago, just thinking about a scenario, and I want to get your take on mindset of this. There was a practitioner, she had lost her license, and she needed to fly back later that afternoon. And, of course, if you don't have a driver's license, like, you have no ID, and getting through TSA security, and she literally, it was like a flip of a switch. It was like freak out anxiety mode. And one of the doctors there, he's like super cool, calm guy. He's like, I won't say her name, but he just said, he kind of put his hand on her and said, what's the worst that could happen? And it was kind of like this look in her face, like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, what's the worst that could happen? That you know, it's a Sunday, so the driver's license place is not open here. You know, worst case is you don't find it. You can't get on your airplane, so you stay at our house. We've got a jacuzzi. You can hang out. And then tomorrow, Monday morning, you can go in, get a temporary, you know, identification, and then get on a plane tomorrow, and, you know, off you go. And it was like, as soon as he went through it, it was like this massive shift that happened with her. And I thought about that. I've been thinking about that a lot in different scenarios. And I kind of asked myself, well, you know, if you start getting like this anxiety or this edginess, what's the worst that could happen? In part of me is like, well, is that, you know, bringing in like kind of the negative, you know, thing, or is that really, you know, is that really help neutralize it and bringing more reality? Like, this really isn't as bad as you think. I mean, what's your thought on that?
Well, what he's moving toward is you kind of connect with that worst thing and you neutralize it. You're like, okay, here's the worst thing, and let me just take three breaths. And here I am, I'm still alive. But an even better question, and this is one I use all the time, is, how could this be the best thing that ever happened? And I had a similar experience just last week. I had been speaking at Peter Osborne's event for practitioners and sharing about Be the Medicine, and it was awesome. And then I had a private client who I saw in Houston, and so it was kind of an extended trip. And I was so excited to get home to my husband and my little girl. And I got to the airport, flew from Houston to Dallas, and I had plenty of time. So I'm sitting there waiting at the gate and doing some emails. And then I look up and I'm like, why aren't we boarded yet? And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, Durango is not listed on the gate. What the heck am I doing? They changed the gate. So I'm looking at the thing to find the gate, and I'm looking at the time, and I'm realizing, oh my God, I'm never going to make my flight. So I book it over there. And they're like, that flight already took off. It's in the air. Like, there's nothing you're going to do. And I felt so bad because it was my fault. Like, in the past, they change your flight. You're like, all right, you got to go with what you got. But I felt like, oh my God, I did this. And I could be on the plane and go home to see my daughter. And so the attachment was really intense. And that's what creates so much pain, is attachment. And I called my husband. I was about to cry. He's like, he always says pronoia. And pronoia is the understanding that all of life is conspiring on your behalf. So the opposite of paranoia, where it's like everything's out to get me. And he always says that to remind me, and it's always like so hard when you're contracted to really receive it. And I'm like, okay, that feels a million miles away right now, but I will receive that. And he called me up 3 minutes later. You know, they rerouted my flight. They're like, you're going to fly out tonight. This is like 9 hours later. He goes, I called he has a friend, Fabrizio, who lives in Dallas. I called Fab. He's going to pick you up at the airport in 10 minutes, and he's going to take you to the Four Seasons. And I spent the day at the Four Seasons and, like, being wined and dined, going in the jacuzzi, having a hot pool, cold pool, like sauna, went to an awesome workout class. I had such a fun day. And what I realized was life was assisting me because I had such a long trip of working, and I really needed that personal integration day that I hadn't created. And like, because I asked, how is this the best thing that could happen? I was able to receive it from life without even having to create it myself. So Pronoia is sort of the same thing as what that person assisted that woman with, is like, let's neutralize all the ways you are afraid of what's bad about this so you can receive the gift.
Pronoia. I don't know if I've ever heard that before. It's awesome. Instead of paranoia.
Well, and also like the dream big thing that you mentioned, this is a huge thing when we have chronic illness, because so many people who find me, they're like, well, this sounds too good to be true, and I'm afraid to let myself hope because of the disappointment I've experienced. And so then dreaming big hurts. It's like, let me just accept that it's never going to work, and like that will be slightly more comfortable. And what I always invite people into is, just like you shared with that woman had to kind of meet her fear, meet your despair, meet your hopelessness, meet that space in you that's contracting you and saying, don't even try, don't even go for it. It's too big. Want less and you'll be more comfortable. And so all the ways you sort of put, like, suppress your own expansion because it's painful to want more, and just meet those energies, because the more you use your awareness and meet those spaces in you, that energy will diffuse and it will dissipate. And what happens is the clarity and the opening to possibilities that allows you to see your path very easily.
I love it. And to finish the story for the listeners, the colleague of mine that lost her license, we ended up being on the same flight. So we went to the airport like 3-4 hours early, and there was nobody there, and walked up, told them the situation, and they made some phone calls and had some questions of like, you know, who was your roommates, what was your address, blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, she was through security. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So
that's awesome. Yeah, and when you operate in that space of Pronoia, it does lay out the path. It does bring you, whether it's like the right practitioner, or you listen to the right call on a summit, or like things actually synchronize for you to give you exactly what you need, instead of scrimping and scrambling to get that, you know, oh, I just got to get these lab tests, or oh, I've just got to get better at my diet and more discipline. And you're doing it in strife and in lack and in intensity. When you open to possibility, those things can come in effortlessly.
I love it. Is there anything, as we're wrapping up here, Dr. Kim, is there anything you want to leave our listeners with? You know, final thoughts, tools, anything?
Yes. So one of the chapters in my book is about say yes to your yes. And it's about how when life is calling you to that, like, expansion, that solution, that synchronicity, that you feel it. You feel the, like, oh, my gosh, like, I want to work with this person, or, oh, my gosh, I want to take that trip. And then there's that secondary thing that goes, oh, but I can't because blah, blah, blah. Oh, but I already tried that, and it didn't work. And then you have the oh, but. And so to begin to live in yes and instead of yes but, to say yes to your yeses, that is going to be what contributes the most to you. When I began choosing that, like sort of choosing my yes instead of living in the contraction, like everything changed for me, especially not only in my health, but in my business, where I was like, I got to work harder. I got to do this. I got to go to that conference. I got to do this thing. And I was like scrambling because I was so passionate about my work. I wanted to do more. But what I began to realize is like, wait a minute, I'm pushing a boulder up a hill. This cannot be what life is calling me to. And so I dumped that way of being. And even though it seemed too good to be true, I began to choose what was effortless. I began to choose my inspiration and my yes. And so even though, like, you know, make a $10,000 investment, when it was aligned with my yes, I was like, A, freaking men, I am doing this. I am already aware this contributes to me. And even though I've made investments like that in the past or done this program or this mastermind and it totally did not serve me at all, when I am now aware, this is different. Like, I am in my inspiration and I choose to follow that. So there's a very big difference from choosing from fear and anxiety and, oh, I should do this and I have to do this, and choosing your yes. So the one thing I would leave you with is, the space of awareness in your body, let your yes emerge and choose from that space of inspiration.
Love it. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Kim, for joining me on the Chronic Lyme Disease Summit number 2.
Amen. Way to go, Jay. Congratulations. Such great work that you're doing in the world and getting this out. So it's been such an honor to contribute.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love your energy, Dr. Kim. So as you've heard from Dr. Kim DeRamo, awareness, super important. Yes, and I love the remembering the pro-NOA instead of the paranoia. So it's important, you know, with Lyme disease and other mysterious illnesses that we look at the body as a whole. Obviously, the mindset was the topic today, and I think this is such a great reminder and a way to dive deeper into this. So definitely take this, you know, life-saving, life-transforming information home with you by clicking on the banner beside or below. That way you've got it for your library as well. You can come back to the instant elevation exercise. And don't forget to also share this with your friends and loved ones too. They're definitely counting on you. And I would recommend to check out Dr. Kim DeRamo's website, Dr. Kim D. So Dr. is Dr. Kim, K-I-M, and then just the letter D. So drkimd.com. You will not be disappointed. Maximum blessings. This is Dr. J. Davidson.